Everyone, good to see each and every one of you here today. I'm telling you, I am ready for going home one day, amen. The longer I live in this world, the less comfortable I feel in it. Don't worry, I'm not having any suicide thoughts. I'm happy in the life that God has given to me, but I'm looking for that day where we can all go home and rejoice in Him. So tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter number 4. Last week we talked about God's gifted children, specifically in the thought of joining God in His mission to the world. We looked at how God is at work in His creation and in His restoration through redemption. We saw how He is presently at work through the Holy Spirit. We then saw that God calls us into a participate with Him in His work by the pattern set for us with Jesus Christ and then the partnership with the Holy Spirit within us. Then we looked at the practical path forward to examine yourselves. Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Are you in realization of that fact? Are you in confirmation of this fact, and what are the implications of this fact? That the Holy Spirit is present in you today, in working through you, and that you are born again, and that your body now is the very place where the Holy Spirit and the Godhead indwell to equip you through the Scriptures and also through the sober thinking of the spirituals, or the Holy Spirit's character and how it uniquely works in and through you. Okay, so each one of us hold, we were talking about this morning in our family during while we were going through some things, and we were saying, the kids were asking me, what child is most like dad and what child is most like mom? And we all concluded, we all broke up our family into to who holds a lot of characteristics of dad and who holds a lot of characteristics of mom. And then even one of them holds some characteristics of Nana. And we were talking through that, and then I told them, but you all also have your unique characteristics, right? The unique places that make you you. So we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and He has made us in a specific way. And once we become Christians, He knows exactly what part of His characteristic can best shine through us in building His body, which is the church, for His glory and honor. So what we've been studying is, what does this all look like? So today, I want to look at this thought. That there's seven characteristics of spiritual gifts. And as we explore spiritual gifts in more depth, we need to answer a few crucial questions such as, what is a spiritual gift? What is the purpose of a spiritual gift? And how are spiritual gifts used? So as we're looking through this and as we're reading our text, remember, we're going to be trying to answer, what is a spiritual gift exactly? What is the purpose of it? And how are the spiritual gifts used in and amongst each other? So 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. All right, so as we're studying this, as we're understanding this, we're seeing this very powerful thought that God, once you're saved, gives you a gift or a spiritual. So what's the character of the gift? The character of the gift is that which has been freely and graciously given. This isn't something that you earn. This isn't something that you work for. This isn't something that you're worthy of. This is something that is given out of the mercy and grace of God to you once you become born again. So who is the receiver of the gift? Those that are born again. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 1 through 9, we will see he is addressing Christians. 1 Peter chapter 1. I find this very interesting as we look through this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through the God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. So what are we chosen for? Who are we chosen by? By God the Father. What process does he use? He uses the process of setting us apart. How does he set us apart? He sets us apart by the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. And what does he set us apart and give us the Holy Spirit to accomplish in us? Well, he does this to create obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? Well, we're seeing that God is working in a magnificent way in who he chooses to separate by giving us the Holy Spirit, by imparting us to us the purchasing power of the forgiveness of our sin, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. What does he want for us? Well, he wants us to be filled with grace and peace. So those two things should be evident in our midst as Christians, that God has elected us. He's elected us by giving us the Holy Spirit. He's elected us to obedience and to also his possession, because we are possessed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are Christ's possession. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay? So we're seeing he blessed us according to his overwhelming, overflowing, abundant, active pity that he's given to us. That's what mercy means. And he's given us this life, and it's unto not a dead hope, not a hope, so not I'm not sure, but this lively, alive hope that has its work in us right now because Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. Now, can you compare Scripture with Scripture and think of a verse that would tell us what Jesus Christ's resurrection means to us? I'll give you a hint. It's found in Romans chapter number 6. And what does it say to us? Well, it says that as Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, he's also implied us to raise us to walk in what type of life? Newness of life. So right now, the moment you got saved, you inherited eternal new life. And that new life is to be active in you. Now, you think the devil... Do you think the devil is going to stop and not activate against us? Do you think he's going to say, oh, I lost their souls and they're part of Jesus's, but you know what? I'm just going to let them do exactly what God wants them to do and I'm not going to fight back. That's how the devil works, right? Man, the devil has a lot of active tools against us through the world, through the lust of the flesh, through the lust of the eyes, and through the pride of life that he's trying to use in us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? And what is happening is God wants us to understand that we have this active, lively hope. What's the end of this active, lively hope? Or what is the fullness of this active, lively hope because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead? To inherit incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we have this active, lively hope that's working in us to the end that we're going to receive something incorruptible, undefiled, and that never fades away. How are we kept? We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we're understanding that there is a salvation that we have received. And we're going to be, it's going to be fully revealed to us in the last time. And what is this salvation that is going to be fully revealed to us that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away? That we can depend on because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, not only do we have a new life, but one day, the active realization of our full salvation will be not just a new life, but a new what? Resurrected. A resurrected body. How many went very interested in the resurrected body? I'm very interested in the resurrected body. A body that fades not away, that cannot be touched with the corruption of the flesh, that cannot be defiled by the trickery and the deceit of the natural man that relies on feeding its flesh and its desires and is never satisfied. Hey, I am a Christian and I have these awesome, unbelievable gifts reserved for me in heaven. And I don't have to worry about keeping it for myself because in verse 5, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So God is the keeper of this great gift. So if God keeps us, can any man pluck us out of God's hand? No. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. So Christian, what are we in right now? Verse number 7. 6. We're in heaviness through all sorts of different pressures and temptations, right? That's what the Christian life looks like. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, ye believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So the point in time that we all received the gift was the point in time that we as Christians received the seal of the Spirit. A gift is not earned or chosen, it is given. All right? So I didn't choose the gift that I got. God gave me the gift that he chose for me. And that's the seal or the down payment or the earnest of his Holy Spirit. So, God has a plan to show us actively in the body that we're in, the church, his active spirit among us as a corporate group of like-minded believers. Again, sad to say, that many times we don't trust in the Spirit to work his work in and through us. Now let me say this. As I've been studying, thinking, every Christian at the point of his salvation receives a spiritual. That's what it literally means. We add gifts to it in our English language so we can understand it better. But what it's saying is we receive an active characteristic of the Holy Spirit working in us individually within the members of this church. And the Spirit, because he's all-knowing, all-present, and he cannot be limited to finite things, has active gifts that he's given each individual. But since we're finite, we can't hold all the gifts. So he purposely gives us a gift, and we'll be breaking down those gifts as we go along in the services after this on Wednesday night. But for now, what I want to explain to you is, if you are saved, you've received a what? A what, kids? What have you received if you're saved? From the Holy Spirit. A part of his character to be worked out in and through you. Just like you've received from me some traits. Right? If you're my children, because I'm your father, you've received some traits from me. Because mom's your mom, you've received some traits from her. Right? Because you're saved, you've been received some traits from God himself. And he chooses how he's going to work out those traits in your life. All right? So you have this awesome privilege as a child of God for God to actually work out part of his character in and through you, in just like you work out your characters, the character of your parents in a family, amongst people, so God works out his character through you in a church. Does everybody understand that? So therefore, if you're saved, no matter your age, what do you have? A predominant character of God working in and through you for the betterment of everybody in the church. Do you understand what that means? All right. So, there is a predominant character of my wife that works out in one of our children to keep the peace. There's a predominant character of one of my children from my wife that is extra clean and likes to clean, like enjoys cleaning, right? There's a predominant character in one of our children that they got from me that is pretty good. You know, that loves to, you know, like care about others, feels very deeply, sometimes good, sometimes it's bad. But the character that God gives you, can it have any bad thing in it? It has to be good, right? And when do you receive it? As soon as you become part of God's family. And kids, when do you become part of God's family? At the very point of your what? You can say it out loud. At the very point of your what? So the kids catch it, then I can really think that you adults are going to catch it. When God allows you into his family, right, through repentance and faith, what do we call that? Salvation. And one of the things you get at salvation is a new what? No, not a new body, a new life. Very good, Milan. A new life is what you get. Oh, Bruce, whoever said it. That's what you get at salvation. So that new life now has opportunity to work in and through you towards others. Now, is that good? That part of God can live and work in you towards others as you yield your body a living sacrifice? So, we're looking at the character of gift. We're looking at the receivers of the gift, and we're finding out it is Christians. And at the very point of your salvation, you receive the spiritual predominant character of the Holy Spirit living and working through you. What's the reason you receive it? We receive it to serve others. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Everybody in 1 Peter chapter number 4, let's look at verse number 10. Everybody looking at verse number 10? All right. As every man hath received the gift, so every man receives this mercy of God, a characteristic of the Holy Spirit living through them. What's the next phrase say? Even so, minister the same one to another. Do you see that? So what happens? God, at the point of your salvation, gives you a specific characteristic of the Holy Spirit to be yielded to and worked out through that. For what purpose? To be used for who? Look at verse 10. Even so, minister what? The same one to another. The same gift that the Holy Spirit is working in you, you're to minister it to each other. Do you see that? So we didn't receive the gift so that we could brag about ourselves. We didn't receive the gift to get some status with God. We received this gift, so that we could work it out through repentance and faith, through a living sacrificed body, through a renewed mind, through a transformed life. We did that so that we could see God work through us to benefit others. Right? So here's how it goes. You received the gift, that salvation, the very time you were saved. It's a spiritual characteristic that the Holy Spirit wants to work out through you. And the reason He wants to work it out through you is not for status, not for pride, not to say, look at how good I am, but to benefit others among you. Right? How are we doing with that? Are we looking at everyone that doesn't line up exactly to what we think they should because they might not have the same characteristic of the Holy Spirit working in and through them? And we say, why can't they do things like me? How many of you have ever felt that way? Why can't they be more like me? I'm like the best person to live with. I don't mind living with myself at all. Huh? So we judge everybody else according to our gift, not realizing that they might have a totally different gift. So people that are very merciful, that's one of the gifts. Guess what they sometimes get irritated at? They get irritated at people that have discerning gifts. Right? Because we just want to pour out mercy on everybody. Oh, hell, oh, grace, 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 grace. And then we got this guy that has a discerning gift saying, hey, have you ever thought that there might be some wrong motives? No. How dare you say that? Whew, you're just a judgmental person. And then the person that might have a discerning gift, that's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit being worked out in them, looks at a person that has a characteristic of mercy being worked out in them and saying, man, that person is stuck on foolishness. How can he just be so giving? It's like he puts himself out to be attacked by people. And in that, he hurts everybody in the church. Right? And so we start judging each other. Oh, why can't he be more like me? And we think the worst. Now, that's not what God intended through the gifts. Amen. He intended us to work together to benefit one another for His honor and His glory so that we might have a church that has no paralysis in it. Okay? Because if I'm mad at somebody else's gift, you know what I'm doing to my own gift? I'm hampering it. And it's not my gift, it's the Spirit's gift given to me in freedom. But I don't want to work that gift out in flesh. God can still do His purposes through people that are very fleshly. You say, no, Pastor. I know some really good preachers, really talented teachers and preachers, that sin has come out about them, and I've sat there and like, how in the world did God use them? Well, God gave them a gift. Okay, and they might be disqualified now from that gift, and biblically, even if they're better preachers than me, I have to say you're disqualified from doing certain things within the church. But God, because they're saved, works through His characteristics given to Him because it's not about the individual, it's about the church's health corporately so that He can be honored and that His direction, because Christ is the head of the church, direction can be worked out and done through us. So we can make a threefold application to the phrase we receive to serve others. First, the gift is not given to build up self, but instead to build up others. Second, the gifts are to be used. And finally, the gifts are to be acted out, not just potentially through ability, to be sat upon and never used, or to act out on our gifts. Okay? So people that are gifted in teaching and preaching need to be given opportunities to what? Teach and preach. Amen? People that are gifted at serving need to be given opportunities to minister to others. People that are gifted and God has given the ability to give need outlets to give so that they can see God praised. People that are gifted in administration and organization need to be given opportunities to use that. We're not just to sit down on the Holy Spirit's characteristic that is to be lived in us. We're to actively let Him do His work through us. So how are we doing that? You know, there's some people that are obviously gifted to preach and teach. They need to give that over to the Lord and preach and teach. Amen? There are people that are obviously gifted in other areas. They need to be given opportunity to do that so that God can do His will amongst His church. So we're looking at the character of the gift. We're looking at the receiver of the gift. We're looking at we received it to serve others. We're looking at we are to be faithful administrators. Faithful administrators of the gift of God. It's the gift that God owns, the characteristic of the Holy Spirit predominantly to work through us as He sees fit. A predominant characteristic of the Holy Spirit working through us as He sees fit. And what is it to be doing? We're to steward that privilege. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 10. Even as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards the manifold grace of God. So, we are to be good stewards. Stewards is the English translation of a compound Greek word, which means house administrator, or one that is put in charge of domestic affairs. An arranger of a household affairs on the behalf of a master. Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due time? Do you know that there's been a characteristic of the Holy Spirit that has been given to you by God that you are to steward? You are to use in this household of faith called the church. You are to be wise in how you use it. You're to allow it to be used by the power of the Holy Spirit because it is not your gift. It is not your characteristic. It's the Holy Spirit's characteristic lived through you. Are we taking that serious, by the way? Are we praying over our positions in the church? Sunday school teachers, are you praying? Are you learning the children? Music players on the piano, are you practicing, praying about the songs? Pastor, are we getting behind the pulpit, praying about the sermons, putting plenty of study time into it so that God can use it? Servants within the church, as you cook the meals, are you praying that God would edify your brother and sister in that? See, preachers, we can get mad. These people are falling asleep, not listening to us. I am not happy about that. Servants in the church that are gifted with servitude can look and be like Martha. Martha was definitely gifted with service, right? Look at these people, how lazy they are. What's the matter with them sitting at the feet of Jesus? Get up and work! Well, when you have that type of attitude, you've just lost your blessing and the Spirit working in and through you, and you're not benefiting the church. How are you taking other people's gifts as they talk to you and encourage you to become better servants within the church and help? How are we looking, like people, are we being serious about the characteristic God has given to us to be worked out in the church? We are given a privilege to be directed by Jesus Christ Himself through the Holy Spirit and how He wants His house arranged. Are we yielding to His direction? Are we making up our own rules? Another way is a director or public worker. Romans 16:23. Gaius, mine host, the whole church salute you. Estras, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Quartus, his brother. Chamberlain is the same word that is translated steward in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So in other words, God, I don't know if you understand this, but God has given us through his grace and through the Holy Spirit the privileged position of directing his church in this lost and dying world. We arrange the household. We direct. God's given specific people to direct in the church. Now, where are we supposed to get it from? Jesus Christ, amen. He's our head. We're not just supposed to come up in our own minds about the direction of the church. No, we're supposed to be faithful in praying and searching the scriptures so that we can rightly divide truth, so that we can know exactly what applies to us and how to apply it in the church. And by the way, from what I'm studying, that looks like a team of men working together that are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it looks like to me. The more I study it, the more I'm convinced of plurality and equality with diversity in leadership within the church is what God's plan is for the New Testament local church. All right. So, as we look at this, it's also used as a trustee or guardian, Galatians 4:2, but it is under tutors and governors until the time appointed to the fathers. So, stewards. Man, Jesus Christ has given us his church to as trustees. Now, his presence never leaves us. His presence is always with us. We are trusted with his church. Is that not a privileged Christian? Is church supposed to be a little part of our life or a major part of our life, Christian? I would say pretty major, right? Is God happy with a Sunday going to meeting Christian that never thinks about the church until Sunday morning? No, we're supposed to be active every day thinking, God, how and where do you want me to fit in this local assembly? How do you want to pour out your character as your gift through me to others in our midst? Number five, so we have the character of the gift. We have the receiver of the gift. We have the receive is to serve other. We have the faithful. We're to be faithful in ministers. Fifth, God's grace in its various forms. A manifold, verse 10, a manifold grace of God. It's many colored. It's diverse. The grace of God, referring to the various gifted gifts, the various gifts derived from his grace. Notice God's grace is the producer of God's various gifts. So, in the first epistle of Peter, grace is referenced on 10 occasions. If you want those occasions, I can give them to you later. We see the definition of grace given by Joel B. Green as this: uncoerced, persuasive, extravagant demonstrations of care and favor for all. So God gives us this unbelievable, extravagant characteristic of himself to be worked out through us towards others. We also see the categories. So we looked at the character, the receiver of the gift, the character of the gift, the receiver of the gift. We received it to serve others. We received it to be faithful administrators of that gift. We see God's graces in various forms. It's not just one texture. It's many colors, many textures, many diverse and various ways that his characteristics are worked out in the church corporate. In other words, I'm not looking to make robots out of anyone. I'm looking for people to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit's leading, so their specific characteristic of the Holy Spirit that He wants to work out through them is worked out through them for the betterment of the church. The two categories of these gifts. One category is the speaking gift. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If we are actively dependent and working cooperatively with God, then people can hear the word of God. If I'm surrendered to that gift of preaching and teaching in my speech, and we'll get into the speaking gifts and the serving gifts later. But what I'm trying to define to you is there's two types of gift, and you need to pray about where you fit in this category. I think I fit in the talking gifts, in the speaking gifts. So that means when I get behind this pulpit, I need to be prayed up and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So His characteristic of speech and what God wants to say is going through a living sacrifice body that has had a transformed mind by the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, right? So that you can hear in my gifts whose words? God's words. When Pastor Unger gets behind the pulpit, he is not to be giving out with his gift that is in preaching and teaching his own thoughts. He's to be giving out God's thoughts through a surrendered spirit. Any other man that is given the privilege to speak to you and address the congregational corporate is to be sold out to the Holy Spirit, giving him the words to speak so that God's words can be heard. Right? Now, I'm not saying that God speaks in an audible voice. What I am saying is that the Holy Spirit can take the words that I say if I'm surrendered and apply them to you as coming from God Himself. Does that make sense? I don't want to act like I'm on the same level as the apostles and I'm giving you inspired words when I preach. What I am trying to say is, if I have the gift of teaching and preaching, I'm to do that as if I'm speaking to you the very words of God. That's what the verse is saying. The second one is ministering gift. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Our acts of service should be by the administrated, or should be administrated in the strength of who? In the strength of who? Verse 11. The ability which who gives? My self-determination. My rock-hard confidence and hard work ethic. Is that what the Bible says? Your strength and abilities in the way God has given you His specific character to minister to others should be done through the strength of God Himself. So when you're tired in your gift, you can pray and God can give you strength. Now, some preachers never get tired of preaching. Some preachers can always think of ways to correlate, and every time they look at the scriptures, the scriptures talk to them, and the Holy Spirit applies the scriptures, and it's boom, boom, and they just love studying the scriptures. I find studying the scriptures very hard work, very rewarding work, but very hard work. My mind sometimes does not want to focus. It doesn't want to apply work and effort to what is needed to prepare myself to be able to give you God's words. My flesh wants to eat up on desires that aren't beneficial for God having His way and His work done in my life. Hello, Christian? But if we're going to do something and use the grace of God that He's been given to us through the Holy Spirit's characteristic being worked out in us, that means we're going to have to put in the time to prepare ourselves to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through. And that means we're going to have to be at a constant warfare, putting on the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6, because, my friend, we are living in the evil day today. Me and my wife were talking about our Maxville trip, which I had a great time. But I was shocked. I don't get out of the house much. But I was shocked at the dress of the people at Maxville. I was shocked what would have been considered only appropriate in the red light district 20 years to 30 years ago is now commonplace anywhere you go, right? Am I lying, men? We're going to have to guard our minds, men. What was available 20 years ago, the amount of sickness that is available to us at a touch of a button, whether it be pornea, I'll say it that way so the adults just catch what I'm saying, or whether it be wrong thinking that's leading weak-minded people away to the world's philosophies, is available to us everywhere we look. I've been listening to some things that people have told me that call themselves Christian. I'm like, where are they getting this thinking from? This is stinking thinking. Right? Where is this coming from? Was coming from the world. And what we're to get is from who? The world or from God? So my friends, spend time in His Word. And finally, the great purpose of the gift, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The gifts are God's way of speaking and touching the lives of others through His people. His desire is that those people come to know God through Jesus Christ and honor Him. So, the definition of spiritual gifts is the activities of God's empowering presence working through His people as they cooperate with Him and serving others with His grace-filled benefits so that all may know and honor Him. That was given to me by John McDonald, MacDonald, from his blog, Seven Characteristics of Spiritual Gifts. All right? So again, definition, the activities of God's empowering presence working through His people as they cooperate with Him in serving others with His grace-filled benefits so that all may know and honor Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for the time that we could spend in Your Word. Bless us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all the ladies can go to the other room. I didn't give you much time.